Okay, I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 28, verse 12 to 17. And I'm reading from the NIV. If you'd like to look at your Bible, and it's up on the screen. We've got the Word of God up on the screen as well. So if you don't have your Word with you today, you can look at the screen. Okay, should we read this together? Is that a good idea? Yeah, come on, let's do that, eh? This is about Jacob. All right, here we go. One, two, three. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. Next one. Yeah, we're going all the way to 17. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake. I can see it. Keep going. Keep going. Can we stop? Genesis chapter 28, sorry. Genesis chapter 28. I realize I'm going, hang on, this is not what I've got here. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. Everybody stand up. Come on, stand up. Okay, let's do that again. You ready? This is Jacob's dream. Okay. One, two. He had a dream in which he saw. Clap your hands. Well done. Take your seat. I just want to clap some of you because some of you haven't read the Word of God all year. I can tell because some of you are running out of puff. Okay. So Jacob has this dream and he wakes up from his dream. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Today I want to talk to you about God's house. This is the house of God. And like this morning, we had an amazing presence of God. I want to talk to you how awesome it is to be here on a Sunday morning. And I want to talk about how I want to encourage us how we can make God's house an awesome place. So I'm going to share 7 power tools that will help us to make the house of God an awesome place. 7 power tools. Because if you just use one, it's not going to work. It's like when you go to a smorgasbord dinner. You don't just eat one thing, do you? You eat a bit of everything, you know, to get a good balance and to get it right. Good health for your body. You need your fruit, you need your veggies, you need your water. Some of you might need a little bit of alcohol. Okay. So, I want to talk, it's important to look after and to make sure that the house of God has been looked after. Right. It's really good. And all of us here, we are a part of that. I'll read this out to you. I won't get you guys to do this one. This is in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. This is what happens if we don't look after the house of God. And so let me read this out. In the second year, you can put it up if you want. That's cool. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time is not yet to come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house remains in a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with your own house, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on the people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. God's people stopped building the house, and the blessing of God stopped. Zerubbabel, in verse 14, God stirs him up. He says, guys, it's time to build God's house. He stirs them up. He stirs the people of God up to come on. It's time to build the house. Now, we have a really good church here. We have a great house here. But there's times we just need to be reminded of some things, you know, so we don't let things slip. It's a bit like a football team. Now, I hear coaches often say to their football teams, to the players, listen, guys, we just got to get back to our basics. Let's do our basics well. And sometimes we just need to do some basics well because we want the blessing of God upon our lives. We do. We want the blessing of God upon our lives. And I know you want the blessing of God on your life. You want the favor of God on your life. And so we want to please God. Now, this church has been going for 23 years. But do you know what? The best is yet to come. Say that to the person next to you. The best is yet to come. Elbow the person next to you and say, wake up. The best is yet to come. So we want the blessing of God. And number one, one of my first points is, it is a house of prayer. The house of God is a house of prayer. I'm going to go to the scripture. I urge you, this is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are a people of prayer. In your homes, in your car, we pray. We pray for those in authority. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our community, pray for those, for people around you. We are a people of prayer. And I know on a Monday night here, is it every week, Steve, or every fortnight? Every fortnight, Mondays here, 7 o'clock, we have a corporate prayer meeting. And everybody is welcome to come to pray and to seek the Lord together. It's actually quite easy when there's a group of you. It's actually really, really good. I find it really quite amazing. It is really good. But of course you pray when you're on your own. Of course in the quiet times of the morning or whether it's the evenings, you set time aside to pray, to get in front of God's face, to love Him, to press into Him, to see Him. We do that. We pray. We seek God. Well, I was at Presence last week as well, and I felt like the Lord tapped me on my shoulder. Now, He didn't literally tap me, but He just reminded me of something. And it was like he said, Charlie, there's a lot more spiritual warfare that goes on than what you think. The importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. Let me tell you that we need to be praying. We need to be vigilant. Because it is a fight. Yeah. Now, when the war is on, the Second World War, the soldiers are vigilant. They're ready. They're waiting. They're watching. And we do need to be vigilant. You need to be vigilant in prayer. You need to be vigilant in seeking God, praying for your family, praying for your children, praying for your loved ones, because you want God to protect them and watch over them. For your church, for safety, for port care, for those around you, you want to pray, you need to be vigilant, because the devil, he does. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So prayer, so I want to stir you up with prayer. It is important to pray, to step into prayer. Sometimes in prayer, you've got to get mad and you've got to get angry. You've got to get mad and you've got to get angry. Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get your hands off him. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's real. It is really real. Have you ever woken up? I've woken up and someone's trying to strangle me, but there's nobody there. Spiritual warfare is real. We've prayed for people. We've seen demons leave people's bodies. It's real. Spiritual warfare is real. I come from when I started going to church at the age of 19, when I gave my heart to Christ, our church was really big on this. Not every week, but we were very alert. We were really right. Our minister trained us so well. He taught us so well. But I found that later in life, I kind of thought, maybe it's just a bit too overdone. And I kind of swung back this way. I did a little bit of it, but the Lord has tapped me last week. Charlie, there's a bit more spiritual warfare that goes on than what you think. And so prayer. We want to pray. We want to be vigilant. We've got to stir ourselves up. You've got to stir yourself up and pray. You've got to stir up yourself and encourage yourself and go, come on, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to pray for my husband, my wife, my child, whoever it might be that is sick. We want to do that. So prayer is the first one. What's my second point? My second one is worship. Very good. How did you know that, Jared? Because it came up there. Very good. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 to 25. Can we all read this together? 1, 2. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, come on. It's so important to be in God's house. It really is. It is. Sunday morning for me is, that's it. I'm in the house of God. There's no compromise. There's just no compromise. I'm in the house of God. That's where I am. You know, I've heard it. You know, I have little children. He was crying. I had to stay home and settle him. Bring him. We've got a Christ facility. I know many of us here, many families here, that we brought our kids to church. We would lay them down on the little pillow that we'd bring, or a little mat. If they're naughty, we would. Hey, learn how to do karate. No, we weren't like that. We loved our kids. We love our kids, don't we? We don't do that. Only when they need it, obviously. Okay, so be in the house of God. I am so thrilled. You know, I see Jay and Josh. No. Jay and who? Josh. What did you look like? I didn't know your name. You're squirming there. Like, I thought, I've got his wrong name. I'm so thrilled to see them each week in the house of God. I think that's amazing. God is doing amazing things in their world. I think it's great. Well done, you guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, Josh. Do you still love me? I love you, buddy. I think you're awesome, mate. Okay, so let's keep coming together. Why? Because the worship, oh my Lord, this morning, how awesome is it to be in God's house? And he comes like that. Don't miss out. You could miss out on a miracle. You could miss out on being set free. You could miss out on something strategic that could just occur in your heart. In his house, we get the word of God taught. I know at 19, at 19 years of age, I needed to be taught. I remember Pastor John Finkeldy teaching on relationships, not so much on the Sunday, sometimes he would, but he would run extra courses during the week on relationships. And I got so much out of it, I just remember that. But then on the Sunday, you get the truth taught. I thought, wow, that's great. Teaching me how to live an upright life, how to love Jesus. It's awesome. So being God's house, it straightened me out. Thank God. I needed straightening up. Now, it's amazing when we come together with anticipation and looking forward to loving and worshiping God. Anything can happen. Many, many things can happen. I know how many years ago was it? Maybe 7 or 8 years ago. We had up here, we were advertising T.D. Jakes. Yes. And he was coming to Sydney. Yeah. He wasn't coming to Perth, he was coming to Sydney. And so my son, who was really, gee whiz, it was more than that. He was probably about 12. He said, Dad, I really would like to go to that. I was like, oh, really? And he just kept pestering me, so I gave up. I felt, yep, okay, let's do it. So we went to listen to T.D. Jakes. This story's not about T.D. Jakes, but we'll get there. So we went, and it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. But at the same time, on the last night, there was the big soccer game. And it was Australia versus Uruguay playing. Not far. So when we left that night, we left T.D. Jakes and we're walking across and we're coming across Olympic Stadium, okay, where the soccer game was on. You can hear the roars, you can hear the shout, then everything went quiet. The game was over, not quite over. And I said to Jordan, let's see if we can get in. So anyway, I've got to cut it really short. So we got in, okay. And what happened was the game was over and it was a draw. So we're standing there and we're watching the extra time. Then after extra time, there was no goal scored and now it was the penalty shootout. Does everybody understand soccer? They had 5 shots at goals each. Whoever gets the most goals out of 5 wins. If it's 5-all or 3-all, you keep going until someone gets more goals. So anyway, so we got there and we are, this is no word of an exaggeration, probably where that black curtain is. And there's the goals. And you're up on this little concrete where people are standing and sitting, and we're standing there. And I'm watching the penalty shootout right here in front of us, and it was amazing. The crowd were just phenomenal. It was really amazing to see people shouting and screaming, lifting up their hands. Anyway, Aloisi, the Australian player, kicked the final one, and he kicked a goal, and we won. And he went berserk. You've probably seen that. You've seen him on telly and he lifts up his shirt. I'm going to show you. He lifts up his shirt and he's running around. He's crazy. He's radical and he's, you know, just going for it. So what am I saying all this for is that it's okay in the house of God to be excited and to love Jesus and be radical for him. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. In your car, be radical for him. Shout, sing his praises in your house. Be radical for him. Be radical for Jesus. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Press into him. Love him. Now, please, I'm not telling you to go out in the street corner and be an idiot. Okay? Don't do that. Sure, go out and share the love of God if that's where you're going with it, but don't be stupid. Okay. So, So we're fans of Jesus, and it's good to come to his house and to praise him and lift his name up high. It's perfectly fine. It is perfectly fine. When you do it, you know exactly what I mean. There's such a freedom in it. Now, Luke 4:18, our theme for this year is freedom. There's such a freedom in praising, lifting up. There's freedom just lifting up your hands like this. It breaks something. It'll break something in your heart and mind. Let me tell you, it will. You do it. Do it at home. Don't go down the main street of town doing it, but do it at home. Seriously, do it. There you go. It's happening already. I see it. No, seriously, do it. You just do it and see what happens. It's surrendering. And your heart just lifts. And then when we're singing, your consciousness, your heart and your soul is connecting with the living God. And there's this outpouring of this awesomeness of faith and peace and love. It's called the presence of God. Number two. Number three. Let's have a look at number three. Number three, a real component of a house of God is community. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is an awesome place. This is a place, it's not just a place we attend. It's not a place you come in every week and you're just visiting. This is yours, this is your church, this is your house. You know, we're family. And I know we're not family like, you know, but we still want to do life together. If there's something that's bothering you or concerning you, we want to do that. We want to help. We want to help each other. If you're struggling with something, the person next to you wants to help you, wants to connect with you. So it's a place of community. Community is amazing. It is beautiful. That's where we build relationships with each other, with God. And something really important. I could actually make I could use 8 points, but I'm using 7. But connect group during the week is really vital. That is really important, to get involved in connect groups, where you're getting closer with people. It's a bit more intimate. And, you know, and if you're struggling with something, you can, you know, Urban, can I just talk to you for a minute? You know, you get alongside, say, Urban, you know, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Can you help me? Well, actually, Charlie, I've been through that. Let me tell you. Let me share this with you. Charlie, I'll stay in touch with you till you get through this. Sure, thank you. Connect groups are vital. They're really, really important. This is a great place to connect, and you can get a little bit, you know, but it's not, I don't think it really happens here where you get really intertwined with people. But connect groups is really awesome. So we're community. This is a place where we care about each other. It's a place where you belong. It's a place where you make other people feel welcome as well. About 3 weeks ago, I spoke to Tanya Aldridge. She comes to our Friday Port Care lunch every week. One lady hadn't been there for 4 weeks, and she said to me the other day, she sent me a Port Care, and she said to me, she'd been going through a bit of a difficult time. She says, Charlie, I feel like I'm ready now. I want to come back to church. Friday's her church. I said, of course, come on down. You know, she came. Is she here today? No? Okay. And she came. It was beautiful to see her here. And without even asking her, she just got up and started serving, helped with bringing plates out. It was just beautiful. Anyway, I was talking to Tanya Aldridge, and who came to our church. Been coming how long? 3 years? Tanya's here. Sorry, I didn't get permission to tell you this, but this isn't, because you shared this in the public, this is, it's okay. 3 years. It's all public info, so it's okay. Is that all right? Yes, thank you. So anyway, I was talking to Tanya, and we're just talking about church. She said to me, before I came here, I went to about 3 other different churches. And she says they weren't very welcoming. They weren't very friendly. People didn't talk to her. And I thought, wow. And her mum said to her, come to C3 Frio. Just come and try this. She came here and she got welcomed. She got loved upon. And 3 years later, she's still here and she's an amazing member of our church. You know, she serves. She does a lot of things. But what's my point? My point is loving on people and being community with everybody. See someone sitting on their own or whatever, go and talk to them. Don't be shy. Now, I know there are many churches that are very friendly. I know that. We're not just the only one. There's many churches that are great. They're good fun. They do welcome. Just some places, you know. You know, some people go, oh, I don't want to become a big church because it's not as friendly. Can I tell you, I've been to a church where there's been 40 people and it's so unfriendly, it was crazy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the people that make it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's us, it's you and me that make it friendly, warm, welcoming. Because we are the fragrance, we are the aroma of Jesus Christ. So we're about community. Oh, you're kidding me. Is it 25 past 11? Okay. So that's number 3. You guys just talk too much, I'm telling you. Okay, number 4, number 4 is unity, the importance of being in unity together. The house of God is an awesome place, and when we work on unity together, it just gets even better and even greater. You know, we carry 2 buckets in our lives. There's a bucket of water, there's a bucket of petrol or kerosene. And you can either, if someone's talking negative, you can either put water on it or you can put kerosene on it. But we want to bring peace and we want to bring love, eh? Okay, number 5 is serving. Serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. In its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks in the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You might have a gift there, and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to get involved. I'm just happy just to come. Hey, we're missing out. We are missing out. So are you. You are missing out. We're missing out. So get involved. You might think, oh, no, I don't want to play the guitar. Start somewhere really easy. Be a door greeter. Help in the cafe. Help Pastor Andrew in the children's church. We can do this. We can make a difference in our lives. Number 6. Where was I? Number 5 was serving. Number 6 is giving generosity. I'm going to finish on this one here, my last one, and that is we're a church that exists to reach out. It's so important that we're not inward thinking, that we are outward focused. And my scripture is Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. And I'm going to get, you can read that, okay, in your own time. Reach out. We're a church that exists to reach out. It's not just about us, but our church exists to reach out. Invite people to Mother's Day. On Easter, about 5 weeks ago, we had this young man in our neighborhood who had just moved in. And about after the week he was in, I said hello to him. Just saw him briefly. Said hello to him. And then last Saturday, Easter Saturday, or 2 Saturdays ago, I went over, that I'll go and introduce myself to him. I got talking to him. He's only quite a young guy, and I've seen him with this young kid around, and I thought it was his son. And he says, oh, no, that's my little brother, you know. And so, oh, wow, okay. So, and he started to share with me that he has custody of his of his two brothers. His mum and dad are just not on the scene, okay? He's 23 years of age, and he has custody of his two kids. And my heart just went out to him. And so I just asked him, I said, oh, look, how are you with, you know, this stuff, that stuff? So he's a bit short on some pots and this and that. So we, I finished chatting with him, and I went home and I said to Helen, I said, hon, you know this kid, this guy, this is his situation. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to make him some stuff. So, you know, that night she started making some, she had some cannelloni prepared, but she just had to add the sauce and the cheeses and that to it. And we got some soup, got him some pots and pans and just different things. And so on the Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we're here in the house of God. There was lunch on here, then my wife and I, we went off to home. And I went over and gave him the food, a few little things. And he said, I'll come back with some more. And he said to me, as I'm walking, he goes, how was church today? It's like, how'd you know I was at church? He goes, Scotty told me. He's another neighbour. And so I went home. I didn't enter a discussion. I went home, got the other stuff, came back, started talking to him. And he said to me, I used to go to church. And he goes, since I've stopped going, he goes, my life is just, it's gone downhill. It's not really good. I'm not coping with my brothers. He told me the situation with his two younger brothers. And so I just started talking to him and said, look, you're going to be okay. And I encouraged him to get into God's house. Then I asked him, so are you comfortable if I pray for you? He goes, yeah, sure, you know. I says, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to connect you back to Jesus. He goes, yeah, that'd be great. So did that. And prayed with him. And he starts welling up. He's crying, you know. And I was like, what do I do now? I'm not going to hug him. That's not going to happen, you know. Just, you know. So I said, okay, we'll stay in touch. And so I went off home. I left him there crying. And he'll be fine. He's fine. He's still alive. It's okay. He's all good. He's all good. I had to head off to Sydney late that night. It was all good, trust me. So anyway, reach out. We're here to reach out. We're here to reach out. You know, during the week, I'm going to share one more story. Can I do that one more? Is that okay? Okay. Because this is really important. I'm at a community sporting association. And one guy says to me, we're talking, he goes, Charlie, how was your week? I says, yeah, really good. He goes, mine was, he used an expletive word, you know, SH, blah, blah, blah. I says, oh, what happened? And he told me, he said, one of my work colleagues took his own life, 27 years of age, family. And I was like, oh, God, you know, just devastating. So I finished chatting with him, right? And he's over there, and I walked up over here, and I'm watching, you know, this sport go on. And one of the other guys is another guy's there, and we started striking up a conversation. And he's telling me just how he broke up with his girlfriend, right, 3 months ago. And I always ask people this question. While I'm talking, I go, I just ask everyone this: Are you suicidal? He goes, oh, I have been. In the last 3 months, you know how many times he wanted to do something to himself? Oh, my God. People, we've got to reach out. We've got to reach out. We've got to be a people that reach out and talk. Just scratch a bit beneath the surface. Don't get into this surface talk. When they say to you, when they say, hi, how are you? I go, yeah, I'm well. I go, but how are you really? And then they're like, oh, well, talk to people, they won't bite. And he started telling me how bad he is. Like, he's really down on himself, but he's a lovely guy. He's not an evil person, he's not anything like that. He's just without God. And he's just down on his self-image. I'm going, man, you're a great guy. I actually first said to him, you're a great guy. And then he started telling me, oh, no, I'm not really. I go, no, you are. Just speak love into people. See them how Jesus sees them. Don't condemn them. I don't care. It doesn't matter if she's a prostitute. You don't condemn them. Jesus saw the prostitute. He told the people, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. They couldn't. They dropped the stone. He said to her, I don't condemn you. Just don't sin anymore. He loves on you. He loves on you. Let's stand up. I just want to leave you with a final challenge. Which of these seven things is moving you, is stirring you to move into? What's moving you? What's stirring you? Prayer. Is it prayer? Is it worship? Is it working on unity? Is it reaching out? Come on, let's sing.